Welcome to Thy Word is a Lamp. This is a family Bible teaching ministry. Today you will be listening to our Bible teacher, Sheila Suarez.
Good evening, everyone. It is really a privilege to be here another Saturday evening to bring forth the Word of God to His people. People of God, we're in perilous times, but the Word of God is here to keep us. The Word prevents us from stumbling, and it gives us that light to our pathway. Wherever we go, we can have the Word to direct us. So we give God thanks for His Word, and give God thanks for the privilege to bring forth this Word on this platform. So we going to pray at this time, and then go into our lesson, which continues in 1 John. We are in the first epistle of John, and I stopped at 1 John chapter 2, verse 11 last time, and we are going to continue from verse 11 of 1 John chapter 2. So before we begin, let us pray. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. We just thank you for who you are. Thank you for your goodness, for your grace, and for your mercy. Thank you, O God, for enabling us to be here another week to go into your word. O God, it's by your grace and mercy that's why we are here. So we look to you and we give you thanks. We give you praise, honor, and glory. Thank you for your people who are listening at this time. I pray that you will grant them receptive hearts, O God, to hear your word, O God Almighty, and receive your word and be transformed by the power of your word. For your word is alive and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces asunder, O God, to the dividing of soul and spirit and joint and marrow. And it's a discern of the thoughts and intents of our hearts. So we just thank you, O God, that you are God and you are with us. And we need not be afraid, but we need just to rest in who you are. So we look to you by faith and give you thanks and praise. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen. So we continue in 1 John chapter 2, verse 11. The word of God said, "But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness has blinded his eyes." The word of God is telling us, as John was writing, John the apostle was writing to the saints, he said that he that hates his brother is living in sin, because darkness represents sin, and don't know where he's going. He has no assurance of his eternal home, because the sin of hatred has blinded his vision. People of God, we don't want to be blinded by any sin in our lives, but we want to confess our sins. So we know our God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Verse 12 of 1 John chapter 2. "I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake." So he was reminding the saints, as he's reminding us now, our sins are forgiven for his name's sake. So people of God, once we have confessed our sins are forgiven. So we don't have to go around walking in guilt and shame, because confession brings healing to our souls. Verse 13 of 1 John chapter 2. "I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because you have known the Father." John was writing to the fathers, those that are mature in the faith, that they have known Jesus, who is from the beginning. The fathers are the ones who are leading, who are in a mature state of mind. They are the overseers. And John was writing to them that they have known Jesus. They have become mature in the faith because of their knowledge of who Jesus is. And Jesus is the one who is from the beginning. To know Jesus is to be in an intimate relationship with him. So we want to be in an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. We want to truly know him. And we want to walk in his ways. He writes to the young men. So he writes to the father. He writes to the young men because they have overcome the wicked one. How do we overcome? The word of God in Revelation 12:11 tells us, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. John writes to the little children, new believers, immature ones, because they have known the Father, because they have put their trust in the Son, Christ Jesus, they know the Father. John 14:9 says, he that has seen me has seen the Father. So if we have put our trust in Jesus, we are also in a relationship with the Father. We truly have come to know the Father. People of God, the Lord is calling us to walk as overcomers. He's calling us to remember that the sacrificial death of Jesus Christ has brought us victory. And he's reminding us to die to self and to live for him, to lay down this old life, to completely surrender our hearts to Jesus, give him all, give him every area of our lives, so that he can truly be Lord of all. We don't want him just to be Savior for us, but we also want him to be Lord. So we want to walk as overcomers through the power of the Holy Spirit living in us. 1 John chapter 2, verse 14. I have written unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. So the Lord was saying, John was saying here that the fathers, he has written to the fathers because they have known him. That is from the beginning. They have known Jesus. And he has written to the young men because they are strong. They are strong in the faith. They are secure in Christ. And the word of God abides in them. So we want the word of God to abide in us, to remain in us. Jesus said, if you abide in me and my word abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. We can only overcome through the word of God, the testimony of Jesus Christ, the blood of the Lamb, and not loving our lives, not loving our old way of lives, letting go, putting off the old man, and putting on the new man. We have to be who Jesus called us to be, people of God. And we can only do it when we are completely surrendered, when we are in partnership with the Holy Spirit. Verse 15 of 1 John chapter 2, it says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. This is a warning to God's people not to love the world system. This system is governed by our arch enemy, the devil himself. Don't love material things. Jesus reminds us that we cannot serve two masters. Either we are going to love one and hate the other. We can't serve God and mammon. That is material things. If any man love the world system, the love of the Father, who is Jesus, is not in him. Jesus himself is the love of the Father. So any man love the world system, any man that is so conformed to the world system, the love of the Father is not in him. Jesus is not in him. Romans 8, verse 9, a part of it says, "Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his." So we want to know who we are in him. The Word of God tells us that his Spirit bears witness with us that we belong to him. So we are to have that assurance of who we are in Christ Jesus. And if we are truly his, then we won't love the world, people of God. If we find ourselves loving the world, check ourselves, examine ourselves to see if we are really in the faith. Verse 16 of 1 John chapter 2. "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world." The world system, which is governed by the prince of this world, has three components by which every human being is tempted. We have the lust of the flesh, and that is that desire for self-gratification, that desire for everything this human flesh, this human body wants. You want to fill up that area. You want to fulfill that desire. You want to gratify the flesh. So this is how we were made up, that old nature. But now we have a new nature. So we don't respond to the old nature anymore. We don't allow our sin nature to guide us and to lead us anymore. Well, we are to be led by the Spirit. The Bible said, "Walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the desires of the flesh." The second component of the world system is the lust of the eyes, envy, greed. Everything that we see, we want. We compromise at times just to get stuff. Just to get more, just to get more. It's a greed. Lust of the eyes. Everything that we see, we want to acquire. That's not of God, it's of the world. The pride of life, people of God. Humanism sets in. Man become his own God. He's now become self-centered. All of life is now centered around himself and not on God. People of God, we cannot live that way. We cannot conform to the world. Paul spoke in Romans 12:2. He said, "Be not conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." So we want our minds to be renewed with the Word of God. We want whenever we respond in any situation, it will be according to the Word of God. We don't want to allow the world system to have a hold on us. People of God, this was how the first sin started. Adam and Eve were tempted by the devil in these three areas, and they fell in the Garden of Eden. We can turn to Genesis 3 and verse 6. The Word of God says, "And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. So it was pleasant to the eyes." A tree to be desired. We see the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh. And the tree and the tree to be desired to make one wise. The tree was good for food. The lust of the flesh, it was pleasant to the eyes. And we see it was, they believed that tree was to make them wise. So it was all about their themselves being wise and being so self-centered. But God is calling us to a higher place, people of God. Adam and Eve fell in the garden. But we read in Matthew 4:1-10 that Jesus himself came. And he came to save us from our sinful state. And the Bible said he was tempted in the wilderness by the devil. And he passed that test using the word of God as his sword. He was tempted in the same three areas that Adam and Eve were tempted in the Garden of Eden. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. He passed that test because he used the word of God as his sword. He responded every time the devil came with the temptation. It is written, it is written, it is written. People of God, we can use the word of God. We have the sword of the Spirit, the word of God to use so that we can also be victorious in these three areas of life. We don't want pride to set into our hearts where it's all about us. We become so self-centered and everything revolves around us. Our whole life must be revolving around who God is. He must be the center of our lives, the center of our joy, the center of everything that pertains to us. Everything in us must revolve from him. But we have to use the word of God, which is the sword of the Spirit, to fight in these evil days, to have the right perspective, to walk in godliness and not to be conformed to the world system. Not to allow our flesh, not to allow greed, and not to allow pride to consume us, that we forget that we are the creatures and God himself is the creator. So let us have the right perspective and go forth and to do God's will. Verse 17 of 1 John chapter 2. The word of God says, and the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. The world will pass away, and all its desire. But he that practices the will of God abideth forever. People of God, we have to practice God's word. We have to practice his will. He that practices, he that doeth, practices the will of God abideth forever. Someone might ask, what is the will of God? And to practice the will of God is to practice the first one is to practice the great commandment. To practice the great commandment, that's number one. To love the Lord with all our heart, our soul, our mind and strength. And to love our neighbor, love one another as we love ourselves. People of God, the Lord is calling us. And the Lord Jesus himself quoted that word in Matthew 22:37-40. He said that we should love the Lord our God with all our heart and our soul and our mind. And that we should love our neighbors as ourselves. He said all the laws and the prophets hang on these two commandments. Loving God and loving our neighbor. Someone might ask, what is the will of God? So number one is to practice the great commandment. Number two is to carry out the great commission. We have to carry out the great commission, people of God. We have to go out and tell others about Jesus Christ, making disciples according to Matthew 28:18-20. So we have to go and to do what Christ has called us to do. People of God, he's on the mission with us. He said, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. So he's not sending us out alone. He is with us. His Holy Spirit comes to live with us and in us. So we have supernatural power in us. Jesus resides in us. And he's able to help us to go and to do what he has called us to do. But we have to purpose in our hearts to do his will. If we know what his will is, let us do it. So let us go for it. The third area of the will of God is to remain faithful. Remain faithful to him. In 2 Timothy 4, 7 through 8, Paul could confidently say, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. People of God, let us remain faithful. Let us hold firmly to God's word. Let us be steadfast and unmovable, especially in these trying times. These are the last days, people of God. And many are coming to deceive God's people. But let us remain faithful and fight the good fight of faith, laying hold on eternal life. People of God, we have to hold firmly to the word. Don't allow the word to slip from us. Hold firmly to the word. And don't take our salvation lightly. It is something to fight for. And we can't fight unless we are submitted to the word. So the word of God tells us, submit to God. Resist the enemy and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. When we draw nigh to the word, people of God, we will have power to fight. For the sword of the Spirit is the word of God. So we will have that word to fight with when the enemy comes with all of his testing. We as people of God are equipped. For God has given us the grace that we need to live each day in godliness, to live each day victoriously, to live each day honoring his name. People of God, let us not retreat, but let us press forward. We are in trying times, but we are not alone. The Holy Spirit of God is with us, and he enables us when we are unable. So let us go forth with power and do not allow this world system to drag us into its grips. We want to walk in that freedom that Christ has given us. We want to walk victoriously each day. It's a daily walk, people of God. And as we come each day committed to him, remember the word of God tells us, Jesus himself says, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. So we know that troubles sometimes will come, but we are not alone. Jesus said, in me you will have peace. In this world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. Take courage, people of God. Jesus has overcome the world for us. So the world system cannot drag us into its hold. So we have to know who we are, and we have to walk in the victory that Christ has purchased for us. Verse 18 of 1 John chapter 2. It says, little children, it is the last time. And as you have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. John continues to speak to the dear beloved saints to let them know that we are in the last days and that they have heard of the Antichrist who should come. But John was saying that even at that time there were many Antichrists, and that means they were Antichrist spirits. People of God, that Antichrist that will come, that will be during the time of the tribulation. It's not the tribulation yet. And John was speaking over 2,000 years ago. But John was saying that there were many Antichrists. And those are Antichrist spirit. That spirit that oppose the things of Christ. That spirit that hates Jesus. It is out there. And we are going to come upon opposition, even among people that we think are in the faith. Because there are a lot of Antichrist spirits that are out there, spirits that are against Christ and the work that he has called us to do. So sometimes we get up and we feel lethargic. We don't want to go. We don't want to tell anybody about Jesus. Those little spirits want to latch themselves to us. So John was warning the brethren in his time as he wrote this epistle. And so we also have to be warned that there are many antichrists. There are antichrist spirits out there. So we know, people of God, that it is the last time. It is the last time. The coming of Jesus is near. And we have to wake up. Wake up from our sleep. We have been sleeping for so long, church. Wake up and understand that the time is far spent. The day is at hand. The coming of the Lord is near. Let us get up and go and do what he has called us to do. Let us watch and let us pray lest we enter into temptation. Open our eyes and see what is going on. We are in the last days. Christ's coming is near. Let us be ready. Let us always be watching and waiting for him. Ready for his coming. Let us be that church, that bride that has made herself ready, that bride that has prepared herself for the bridegroom. People of God, we don't want him to come and then we find that we are strayed from him. But we want to be in that relationship with him, that when he comes, we will go with him. The word of God tells us that those that are alive and remain will go with him, will follow those that have died in him. They will rise first and they will go with him. And those who are alive and remain in fellowship. Those who are alive and remain in fellowship with him, they also will be caught up to meet him. People of God, the Lord is calling us. We cannot allow anything or anyone to stop us. But let us place our confidence in Christ Jesus and abide in him. He reminds us in John 15:7, abide in me and let my words abide in you. And you ask what you will and it shall be done. He keeps reminding us to abide, to remain, to stay in him. Stay in fellowship with Jesus Christ. And he will see us through. We will walk in victory and we will continue to go and to do his will. So the Lord is calling us, people of God, into that intimate relationship with him and to hold firmly to him, because we are in trying times. We're going to stop here for this week and we will continue next week in 1 John chapter 2. And we will continue from verse 18. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word that have gone forth to your people. And we pray that, oh God, these words, oh God, will find good ground in the hearts of your people. And we look to you by faith and we thank you again for your word. And we thank you for what you are doing in this season. As we look to you and give thanks, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you all.
Thank you very much for listening to our Family Bible Teaching Ministry. Let's hope you have been blessed by this wonderful word. Thy word is a lamp. You can reach us at 561-667-8477. 561-667-8477. Join us again next week at the same time. Thy word is a lamp.
You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station.